So we continue reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 4, text 103 and 104. The chapter is entitled Shri Madhavendra Puri's Devotional Service. So I requested this particular song to be sung because today's purport is related to this song about the different temples of Vrindavan. So we'll discuss today a little bit about the different temples of Vrindavan, and then we'll take it from there. So I'm just going to read text 103, then we'll continue to text 104. Translation. Eventually, two Brahmins in the renounced order arrived from Bengal with Madhavendra Puri, who liked them very much, kept them in Vrindavan and gave them all kinds of comforts. Today's translation, text number 104. And these two were then initiated by Madhavendra Puri, and he entrusted them with the daily service of the Lord. This service was performed continuously, and the worship of the deity became very gorgeous. Thus, Madhavendra Puri was very pleased. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The six Goswamis and their followers started many temples, such as the temples of Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Damada, Shamashunda, Radha Raman, and Gokulananda. The disciples of Goswamis were entrusted with the seva, puja, deity worship of these temples. It was not that the disciples were family members of the original Goswamis. All the Goswamis were in the renounced order of life, and Jiva Goswami in particular was a lifelong brahmachari. At present, the Savitas assume the title of Goswami, and on the basis of their being engaged as Savitas of the deity, the Savitas who have inherited this position now assume proprietorship of the temples, and some of them are selling the deity's property as if it were their own. However, the temples did not originally belong to these Savitas. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmashi Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So requesting the permission of all the devotees here, if I can say a few words. I'm not a very eloquent speaker, like some of our illustrious Vaishnavas here. But by the blessings of the Guru, you know, a dumb man can say a few words. Vanchakalpa tribhyascha kripasindyubhye vacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this pastime is taking place in Vrindavan. So if you try to remember when was the first time this word or this place came into your existence, what was your first impression? Anyone? Vrindavan, land of Krishna, where this pastime is taking place. What was your first recollection, Prabhu? Place of magic. Yes. Leo? Heavy. Your anathas, they come up. Quite often you get sick over there, isn't it? How many people have been sick in Vrindavan? That's because all your anathas, they come to the top, whatever kind of impurities you have. I'm going to Vrindavan, it's like making rubbery or making like kheer. It boils and boils until your pure bhakti comes out. And sometimes you're faced with your anathas and you think, ah! You know? So, yep, heavy. Anything else, ladies? Enchanting. Vrindavan place. I think maybe some of you, the first impression, at least mine, was reading Krishna book, isn't it? The description of Vrindavan is quite amazing in there. Krishna going in the groves of Vrindavan, enjoying with the coward boys, with the calves and things like that. Many devotees, at least in the 70s, when they read this description of Vrindavan, they booked a ticket, went on Panam Airways, and then went to Vrindavan, and they were looking for the groves of Vrindavan where Krishna rolled, and the grazing cows, and they were a little bit disappointed. So Vrindavan isn't something you see physically. It needs to be a state of consciousness to really appreciate Vrindavan. This wonderful story. I mean, I'm not sure who it is. Some people say Rupa Goswami. Some people say it's Jiva Goswami. Maybe at the end of the Leela, Sutta Goswami, our illustrious scholar, can verify. So the Goswamis are very, very learned. And Akbar, he was quite into finding out about other cultures, other religions. He had many pundits. In fact, he's always had discussions with all different pundits. And he heard about the Goswamis. And he particularly heard about Rupa Goswami, how learned he was. Because Akbar, in his own right, was a bit of a scholar himself. So then he arranged to have a meeting with Rupa Goswami. And then they had a discussion, and one would probably imagine having a discussion with Rupa Goswami would leave you a little bit gobsmacked, isn't it? Because his understanding of the scriptures is so deep, his understanding of Krishna is so deep, he would able to fill your heart with most amazing realizations. And even this Akbar, he had this deep realization, and he actually said to Rupa Goswami, I'm very, very impressed with you. So I would like to offer you some service. And then Rupa Goswami, he's a mendicant. He didn't want anything. He said, I'm okay. I'm happy. I got this tree to live under. I'll go under that tree tomorrow. Possibly I'll choose that one under Govardhan Hill. So, you know, he didn't have one fixed abode. He lived different places. So he said, no, I'm fine. Then Akbar, with his material eyes, he looked at Vrindavan and he saw it like in a rubble. Keshi Ghat was falling apart. There was like buildings not quite nice looking. And he says, I am Akbar. I have a lot of wealth. I can repair some of these bathing ghats. I can repair some of your temples. Then Rupa Goswami said, all the money in your treasury cannot even repair this one broken ghat over here. Then Akbar said, what? I'm Akbar. I got so much wealth. And then Rupa Goswami took some dust in his hand, and he asked Akbar to open his hand, and he placed the dust in his hand. And as he was dropping the dust turned into Chintamani stones, valuable stones. And these stones were so valuable, so shining, so bedazzling, that Akbar had never, ever seen anything like it in his entire treasury. He says, Vrindavan is Chintamani, full of touchstones. Your wealth could possibly not even repair one small little part of Vrindavan. Then Akbar realized actually Vrindavan was a very, very special place. And for this reason, Lord Chaitanya sent his disciples to try and relocate, reestablish some of the pastimes of Krishna. as we know, what does time do? What does time do? Deteriorate, destroys. So I grew up in Harrow. And if I go back to Harrow now, it's not quite the same. It's very, very different. The trees I climbed, where I ran around, it's completely different. That's only like 40 years ago. So you can imagine 5,000 years, so much change takes place. So then over a period of time, Vrindavan got lost. It became Gupta. Gupta, anyone knows what Gupta means? Hidden. So then, of course, Vrindavan is very important. Then as explained over here in the purport, Lord Chaitanya, he sent his disciples to try and locate these different wonderful places. And it is said even when Lord Chaitanya first went to Radha Kund, it was just nothing but a rice paddy field. What we see now, it's not what it was originally 500 years ago. So there are many, many famous temples in Vrindavan. My first encounter or hearing about Vrindavan is Vrindavan, the land of 5,000 temples. Imagine a place with 5,000 temples. Everywhere you go, hear the aarti bell. Everywhere you go, you can turn a corner and you can see a deity of Krishna. Everywhere you go in Vrindavan, you can be invited to some temple. So 5,000 temples are there, and some form of worship is going on in one way or another. So we know that there's many, many temples, but in Vrindavan, when you go to the rickshaw, you always say, please take me to the, how many main temples? 7 main temples. So just to keep you on your toes. So what are the different 7 temples of Vrindavan? Okay, we'll start with the ladies first. We are gentlemen here after all. The first temple, we sang about it this morning. They don't have to be in order, doesn't matter. Radha Raman. So Radha Raman, and who's the founder? Gopal Bhatta. So that's Radha Raman. Then any other, Prabhuji? Madan Mohan. And ladies, who's the founder? Oh, stop cheating. Oh, no, Googling. Just joking. So who's the founder of Radha Madan Mohan? Sanatan Goswami. So we've got Radha Raman, we've got Radha Madan Mohan, and a third one, Prayojana Prabhu. Hare Krishna. He's in Samadhi. Okay, all right, we'll leave him. Prabhuji? Radha? Radha Damada. Prabhupada lived there in Radha Damada. And where he took prasadam, he could see from his window Radha Damada. So ladies, who is the founder of Radha Damada? Radha Shakti, come on. You got some Shakti. Get that Shakti out. No, not Sanatan. Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is the founder of Radha Damada. Okay, we're doing really good. Okay. What is your name, mister? I'm looking right at you. What is your name? Gopinath, Ribur. Okay, so, and who's the founder? Madhu Pandit, yeah, Madhu Pandit. Okay, so, how are we doing so far? David, you okay? Do you remember these games we were playing yesterday? Okay, so we got 4 so far. We're doing pretty good. Okay, what's the next one? And let's give someone else a chance. What about our Pandit from Leicester over there? Yep, Gokulananda. And who's the founder? Who? Vishwanath. Well done. So, hearing some kind of a discussion going on here. Okay, we have cheating going on. All right, Mohan. Rasabihari, nope, that came a bit later on. Many, many thousand years, hundreds of years later. Not Rasabihari. Radha Govinda, yes, Radha Govinda. Rupa Goswami, well done, Abhi. So have we covered them? My brain is really cloggy. Six. So last round. Shamasunda. Beautiful form of Shamasunda. Shamananda. Yes? So these are the different main temples, and if you pay the rickshaw wala, boom, 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 boom. And if you, he knows when all the darshan times are, and he'll take you to all the different temples. So Rupa Goswami will talk about Rupa Goswami's temple, Radha Govinda. Who's been to Radha Govinda temple? Beautiful, amazing temple. So most people think Radha Govinda temple is been built by Rupa Goswami. But actually, it's not been built by Rupa Goswami. Did you know that? I didn't know that until this morning. Who's it built by? I know this pundit knows. Prabhuji? Huh? Nah. Come on, Gopinath, it's on the edge of your lips. I know it. It's a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Das Goswami. Raghunath Bhatta, one of the lesser known Goswamis. He's had a follower in Akbar's army, and he was a general. And like I said earlier on, many of these people, they got to hear about the Goswamis. You know how news spreads very, very easily. If like Sankirtan Priya gives a class, before you know it, it's on the internet and it's going to go viral about his class. So in the same way, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was very, very proficient in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So as you see, we struggle to speak in the meter of the particular Sanskrit, you know. But Raghunath Bhatta, he was so expert that he would chant the Srimad Bhagavatam in four different meters. And this person was very impressed, and he was quite wealthy. Then he arranged the building of this temple. So Radha Govinda was a deity that was originally established. We were given a nice class by Sutapa about the different deities that were established by the grandson of great-grandson of Krishna, Vrajanab. And so Radha Govinda was worshipped over there. But as I said, over due course of time, Radha Govinda was lost. And then Rupa Goswami was there one day. In the same, he was chanting his round, and one boy came to him. And this one boy took the hand of Rupa Goswami and then said, "Have a look over there." And Rupa Goswami looked there, and he unearthed a deity known as for us, Radha Govindaji. And then, of course, then in the same manner, Madhavendra Puri had the festival. Rupa Goswami, he established the Radha Govinda. And then later on, it dawned on Rupa Goswami who this boy was. Who was the boy, Cyrus? Krishna, yeah. When Krishna comes to you, do let us know, yeah. So that's how the deity Radha Govinda was established. So we'll go through the three main deities. Then we'll go to Radha Madan Mohan. So this is the Sanatan Goswami deity. Anyone know Radha Madan Mohan, how he was found? Come on, I know you know it. Prabhuji, go on, say it. Yeah. Just from the Goswami's time.
I mean, it's a long story, but then he got a dream that I want to be worshipped by Sanatan Goswami, and then Sanatan Goswami took up the worship and then put Madan Mohan in the tree, and then many interactions between them.
So that's Madan Mohan, and then Gopinath. So these are the main three. So Radha Govinda, we sing those prayers. Then we have Radha Madan Mohan. Then we have Radha Gopinath. So you must know this. I don't want to embarrass you, Gopinath. How was Gopinath found? Oh, Cyrus? Oh. So Gopinath, So again, another local Brijabasi, Madhu Pandit, he was there in the banks of Vamsivat, and then he was there just chanting, and then one Brijabasi said, come over here, and there was a tree near Vamsivat, and then he looked around there, and he found the deity of Radha Gopinath over there. And then he established a wonderful temple. So these are the three main deities, Radha Govinda, Radha Madhumohan, Radha Gopinath. So these were the deities that were established. And then when the deities are established, then as explained here, the pujaris have to perform different seva and puja. So Prabhupada explains here that although the Goswamis established these temples, and they were renounced, they didn't have any children, it was their disciples who carried on the seva. So then you had the Goswamis who established a temple, their disciples, as explained over here, they, Madhavendrapur initiated two disciples who carried on the worship of Gopal, and then these disciples, they carried on. Unfortunately, as over a period of time, these savitas or these pujaris, they didn't keep up the seva, the traditions. And then, in fact, this story that goes back to some of the Goswamis, they were using the Shalagram Shilas as nutcrackers. So this somehow or another, the worship deteriorated. And in fact, when the deities were established, much land was also donated where the temple was established. And the deities were the owners of the particular land. But as period of time, because the pujaris wanted some money or whatever, then they were starting to sell off. So these were the temples that were established by the Goswamis. So there was a very, very dear servant of Lord Chaitanya who foresaw that a need to establish temples outside of Vrindavan. And that dear servant was who? Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, he went to the West. And then we know famously the wonderful Leela of Radha Landanishwara, the first full deity that was established in the West. And in fact, just last year we celebrated the 50th anniversary. And then Prabhupada started establishing, just like the Goswamis, many, many, many temples around the world. And of course, we're very, very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada established Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So that's a very nice, famous video that you can see Prabhupada dancing, doing the first aarti. So then he established these deities. And when Prabhupada was in Australia, he had very, very, very limited time over there. So he established Gaur Nittai. And he didn't have Brahmins even there. So he just initiated Brahmins just so that they could do the seva. And then as Prabhupada was leaving, he made a little request to Gaur Nittai. Anyone know what the request was? He said, I've just initiated these disciples. They have absolutely no idea how to do seva. But I ask you, please, my dear Gaur Nittai, accept this service. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada slowly, slowly training up disciples. Mother Jamuna was personally trained by Srila Prabhupada how to do deity worship. So Prabhupada left this legacy. And famously, Prabhupada once said, please, please, don't make me Alexandra. Prabhupada said to his disciples, please don't make me Alexandra. What does that mean? What does that mean? Nishkinchana Prabhu?
Yeah.
That's so it is very important that Prabhupada personally, in that lecture, it's a beautiful lecture where Prabhupada says, this is not a marble. This is Krishna himself. And then I was listening to a lecture in the evening. It's quite nice when you address the deities, you hear different lectures by Prabhupada. And then some of the devotees, they were, I think Prabhupada was talking with Bhakti Swarup Damodar. And they were saying, oh, you're worshipping these idols. You offer this food. And I think a few classes back, we were talking how you offer food to Krishna and the food still remains there. And then how is it that the deity is eating while the food remains there? Then Prabhupada said, you cannot see, but I can see Krishna eating, coming off and eating the prasadam. So this worship, Prabhupada said, don't let it be a burden. Seva means an emotional reciprocation with the deity. So there has to be some emotions. There has to be some bhakti. And then it is important that in our life that we also have some form of seva to the deities. Lord Chaitanya didn't go asking his disciples to establish his temples. Lord Chaitanya didn't ask his disciples to install this deity. Srila Prabhupada didn't put so much blood and sweat to establish his wonderful deities for no particular reason. He wanted us to have a connection with Krishna. So Prabhupada was in London once, and then Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada is always asked, what's your favorite deity? What's your favorite prasadam? What sweet do you like? People are always asking. So then one devotee asked, what is the nicest service one can do for Krishna? Then Prabhupada looked back at this disciple and said, to be a pujari is the nicest service. And then the devotee was a little bit shocked because he thought he was going to say book distribution or something like that. Then Prabhupada said, the reason why the pujari is very, very important is because he is directly in contact with Krishna. And he is doing this seva to Krishna, waking Krishna up, feeding Krishna, cooking for Krishna, making garlands for Krishna. And this is the seva that you are going to be doing in the spiritual world. So this is a training for us in our swarup, is to serve Krishna. Whatever the pujaris are going to be doing is exactly what we're going to be doing in the spiritual world. So this is a training for our consciousness. This is a training for our soul, that when we get to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, the very activities that the pujari is doing is what we are going to be doing. There will be no scrolling down Facebook. There will be no Twitter. So these things that we kind of have here in the material world, trying to preach, trying to do some wonderful preaching activities, in the spiritual world, everyone is liberated. Everyone is serving Krishna. That is our swarup. So this is what we will be doing. So in days when I got initiated, when we were initiated, the only reason you got Brahmin initiation was one, if you were a preacher, active preacher, or if you did direct pujari service. And then the leader said, if you get a Brahmin thread, it's not just something that you decorate over your shoulder. It means that once a week, if you have a Brahmin thread, you have to do some form of deity worship. I know we have a busy schedule, but if somehow or another we can somehow or another center our life around Radha Gokulananda. Prabhupada gave two important instructions when they established this temple. So Navadvip was talking about that. One of them was to have very, very nice Goshala. That's why he named it Gokula. And the other one, Prabhupada said, if you look after the deities very nicely, then everything will be provided for you. So I think it's very, very important that when we come in a certain kind of an institution, in establishment like that, we get very, very carried away in our different little department. We get very, very carried away in our little kind of narrow-mindedness. But actually, we have to remember the center of everything that we do is Radha Gokulananda. I mean, I don't want to embarrass anyone. Sometimes I see people who are doing seva here, they don't even come and see the deities. They don't come and offer obeisance to the deities. So sometimes we forget that when we're working for the temple, that it becomes something of a, some kind of a workplace. It's not a workplace. It's a place where our mind, our consciousness, our service is meant to be for Radha Gokulananda. And this is the way I remember many, many years ago. Everything was always centered around the deities. So if you ever get an opportunity, then touch Krishna's paraphernalia. Krishna's saliva has been on that plate. If you get a touch, Krishna's making garlands for him, then do it. This is what the gopis do. They pick flowers for Krishna. And this is what makes Krishna happy. If you get a chance, cook some prasadam or boga for Krishna. If you get the chance, if you're not initiated, go and help clean Radharani's kitchen. So somehow or another, we have to connect ourselves in deity worship one way or another. It has to be like a two-sided balance. And I think when we start to actually build a relationship with Krishna in the form of the deity, then Krishna will manifest himself. We see how the Brahmin, he tried to keep the honor of the old Brahmin in the Sakshi Gopal. He wanted Krishna to come to witness and be the witness for the vow. So when he requested the Gopal deity said, I'm just a marble statue. It's unheard of the deity walking. Then the Brahmin said, you are not the marble deity that we see with our eyes. You are directly the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. That's how the Brahmin saw Gopal deity. And because of that, then Gopal walked off the altar. And there's so many wonderful stories of the deities. Time, again, is not on our side. So I had so many things to say. And then we have to be very careful that we don't contaminate our kind of consciousness being with the deities. So I just wanted to say this one last story. There was Tirupati. Tirupati has many, many, many pujaris. And sometimes when there's so much opulence, we sometimes get carried away. So much maha, so much nice, and then pujari says, oh, okay, I'll make a big stack of plate for him. We have to be conscious that we don't get carried away like that. So there was this one person who was a pujari for Balaji. And then one person, he came and he gave a big, giant emerald. Balaji is known for his opulence. And this goldsmith, he came and he gave this emerald to Balaji. And then the pujaris, they accepted it. So in that system, in Balaji, different families, they get a chance to worship Balaji. And this one particular family, it was their chance to worship. So every now and then, the full opulence of Balaji, diamonds come out. And this one pujari saw this giant, massive emeralds, and material desires came in his heart. And he thought, this will look very, very nice if I had it. So then he devised some plan to steal that emerald. And then when the right opportunity came, when it was his time to put Balaji to sleep, then he took the emerald and he disappeared. And he disappeared for about 6-8 months. And he disappeared. Balaji is in South India. Then he went to North India. And he waited 8 months. And he thought he'll surface and then he'll go to some goldsmith place and he'll sell this emerald and then he'll be very, very happy. So then he went in some remote village. Then he went to one kind of goldsmith place and then he took the emerald out and put it on the table and then he asked this person, what is the value of this? And then how much can you give me for this emerald? And the goldsmith, he looked at it very like this way and that way. And he said, I can give you 10 years in prison. And the prison, what do you mean 10 years in the prison? Then the goldsmith said, where did you get this emerald from? He said, oh, it's a family loom. He said, no, this used to belong to my family loom and I donated it to Balaji. So what are the chances that all of India, how many people are in India? Over 1 billion. So many places. He went to this one goldsmith and it's the same goldsmith who donated it to Balaji. So we have to be very careful that when we are in front of the deities, when we have the seva, that we don't make any offenses, we don't let our material contamination. And then just one last story quickly. I think this is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada, he was giving a darshan in India. And then one Indian person says, oh, Swamiji, why are you building so many temples? India is full of temples. We don't need any more temples. So many temples are already there. Then Prabhupada said, is this your wife? And Prabhupada was indicating the gentleman. And then the gentleman said, yes, this is my wife. And he says, so do you have children? And Prabhupada asked him this question. And he says, oh, yes, we have children. And then Prabhupada asked him, there are so many homeless children in India. Why didn't you adopt one of this child instead of having your own children? And the person was silent. He could easily adopt one of these children, which are homeless, but he had his own child. And Prabhupada said, the reason is because you want to have a personal relationship with your own child. You want to teach him, let him grow up, and have certain kind of way he wants to grow up. So in the same way, each temple has a certain mood in it. And then Prabhupada explained that in our temple, I want a certain mood in there. And that's why I established this particular temple. And then the mood over here is very, very vibrant, very, very full of life. There's one, when they had this IS, different groups were coming over here. So one year they would go to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Another year they would go to another famous kind of nice looking temple. But they would say that every time we come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, so this was like a kami saying that we feel there's more life in this temple, even though it doesn't look like a temple, than the temple that we visit that looks like a temple. Why? Because here, the devotees walk the talk. The devotees here live what they preach. The devotees over here believe that Krishna here does exist in the form of Radha Gokulananda. So then there's a vibrance about it in this place that you cannot be found in another place. Thank you very much. Sorry for going over time. Please do forgive me. Hare Krishna. We can either stop if anyone wants to add anything. Prabhuji?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Really, really nice class. Can you maybe share anything from your personal experience of anything that happened to you in Vrindavan, or some transformation, or some incident, or something that was really memorable for you from Vrindavan?
For me, I mean, Vrindavan was very, very nice, but the most spiritual experience I had was actually in Eka Chakra. So for me, I couldn't quite appreciate Vrindavan, but I remember going to Eka Chakra. This was about 25 years ago. So Eka Chakra is like going back in time. And when you go there, I don't know if anyone's been there, it's the most amazing spiritual experience you ever had. And I actually was sitting where Lord Nityananda would bathe, where Lord Nityananda would play with his friends and things like that. And I actually got some really deep spiritual kind of ecstasy. And I was praying so hard, Lord Nityananda, please give me some mercy, please give me some mercy. So there's this samadhi, the umbilical cord of Lord Nityananda. It's buried over there. And I was chanting and I was asking, Lord Nityananda, please give me some mercy. And as I was chanting, this big branch from the tree fell on my head. Poo! And then I thought, wow, this is amazing. And then I took some of that branch, and that branch is, I wear it every single day. I never take it off. So this branch, 25 years ago, fell on my head. And I saw this as a sign from Lord Nityananda, that somehow or another, even though I'm fallen, that he gave me some mercy, saying, all right, you know, here, take a little bit of mercy. So I took this mercy from Lord Nityananda, and I keep it with me every day. And I don't know, that night when I spent the first night, I actually could not sleep constantly all night long. And I was on the rooftop over there, because we just turned up, you know, and there was no space or anything like that. So I said, you have to sleep on the roof. And we were watching the stars, and my mind was just thinking of Lord Nityananda. So then this gave me a little bit of insight how the gopis constantly think of Krishna. Sometimes I wonder, how is it possible to think constantly of Krishna? This was a little insight that night when I slept on the rooftop on Eka Chakra, my mind, I just couldn't sleep. And I could see the moon. I could literally see the moon passing right across. And by the time it was time to go to sleep, it was Mangalati. I said, oh, God. So if anyone hasn't been to Eka Chakra, I really thoroughly recommend Eka Chakra. It's a most amazing place. And Prabhuji was saying kind of yesterday that Prash was saying there's something about Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, only if you go to him will he give the mercy. But Lord Nityananda, he runs after you to give you the mercy. So Lord Chaitanya, only if you go to him. Lord Nityananda, he runs, oh, you come here, oh, you need this, you know. So that's my first. And I had a little experience when we first arrived in in Vrindavan. We kind of went on this kind of tonga, this ghat. We all just jumped off the tonga and we started rolling and rolling in the Vrindavan dust. I don't recommend it now because you get run over by some Delhi wala. But there was proper sand. So if you get a chance, like a kruder, roll around without no care, without no attachment, let yourself go and roll around in Vrindavan. And I remember there was about 10 of us. We just jumped off the tonga and just started rolling and rolling and rolling. And that was my first experience of Vrindavan. Shri Vrindavan Dharma Ki, thank you for your time. Sorry, I went over time. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.